90.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Bryce Claypool with your WSLR news headlines for Tuesday, October 21st. State officials are saying that cuts to FEMA grants are jeopardizing disaster response. On September 29th, FEMA paused hundreds of millions of dollars in grant money until states conduct new population counts to exclude people deported in the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. Without guidance on how to calculate those numbers and FEMA staff furlough due to the ongoing government shutdown, states are currently left in limbo. Sarasota County Mosquito Management Services is implementing a new program using drones to spray pesticides targeting adult and larval mosquitoes. The drones will allow spraying in places that are hard to reach by truck, with the goal of reducing mosquito populations. An investigation by Manatee County's Inspector General's Division is raising questions over whether former Supervisor of Elections James Satcher used public funds to support his political campaign. Satcher was elected to the Manatee County Commission in 2020. In 2024, Governor DeSantis appointed him as Supervisor of Elections. He ran to keep the seat, but was defeated in a landslide by Scott Farrington, chief of staff of Satcher's predecessor. The records uncovered by the inspector general show that Supervisor of Elections funds were paid to political operative Frederick Piccolo Jr. Supervisor of Elections officials said that Piccolo didn't produce any work for the office, and records show he created materials to support Satcher's candidacy. In a statement to the Bradenton Times, Satcher did not address the concerns, but called his time overseeing the 2024 election, quote, a huge success. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem stopped by Bradenton on Monday to tout President Trump's immigration agenda. Amid backlash to the administration's mass deportations, Noem said the crackdown is targeting, quote, the worst of the worst, and highlighted several arrests. She praised ICE's efforts and their partnership with Florida law enforcement. Noem did not directly address a WSLR reporter's question as to the reason Bradenton was selected for the press conference. This has been Bryce Claypool with your WSLR news headlines for Tuesday, October 21st.
Sarasota and WVPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. Also streaming on WSLR.org or by downloading the free WSLR app. This is the Healthy Living Hour, airing live every other Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. My name is Rebecca Acosta, acupuncture physician, and I'm your host. And this week, as you all know, we're tuning in. It's a special week for us. Twice a year, we get together and we do a membership drive to keep our radio on the air, give you news, give you different music, stuff you don't hear elsewhere. And so today we're joining with Julie Morris of the other alternating Tuesday show, Our Changing Environment. Thank you, Julie, for running the soundboard. And our goal here is to offer a wide variety of topics and guests to better inform and educate our community on current health and wellness issues. As a disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed by hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, or volunteers. Further, no one here is providing any type of medical diagnosis, treatment, nor advice. Everything said here on the Healthy Living Hour is solely for general information and to foster critical thinking. We encourage you to consult your doctor for personal medical advice. Julie, it's so good to be here with you this morning. Tell us a little bit about our program today and who we have with us, please.
We have Vern Hall, who's the utilities director for the city of Sarasota, and will be and he'll be joined later by Luke Mokerman, a communications specialist with the city of Sarasota. And we're going to talk to him. We're going to talk with both Vern and Luke about where the water for the city of Sarasota comes from and what the different quality factors of the water are. And Vern is well informed about this because he's the utilities director for the city of Sarasota.
Thanks for being here, Vern.
Sure, no problem.
Vern, where does the city of Sarasota draw its municipal water from?
Well, the city of Sarasota actually has two sources. We rely on groundwater. We have the downtown well field, which is here within the limits of the city. And then we also have the Vernon well field, which is about 15 miles to the east of the city. The downtown RO well field is a little more brackish, and that feeds the RO treatment facility. And the Vernon well field is has a little bit more elemental sulfur and the like in it, and we utilize that. That's treated through the ion exchange system. And then both of those water sources, after treatment, are blended, chlorinated, and sent out into the distribution system.
Okay, and is there any surface water that is involved in all of that? It's all groundwater?
No, ma'am. We do not have surface water sources. Our sources are all groundwater.
And I've noticed that there's three wells in the Indian Beach Sapphire Shore neighborhood, and they're numbered 1, 2, and 3. Are those part of the municipal water supply?
Yes, they are.
They are. Okay, great.
And we call it the downtown well field, but it's not a well field in the traditional sense. Most well fields are pretty much what they sound like. It's just an area with property and wells, and it's just a well field. The downtown well field is kind of scattered in different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
The Verna well field is the more traditional type of a well field where it's just a fenced-in area, and that's all that's in there are the drinking water wells.
And so there's multiple wells in Verna?
Yes, there are.
There are
39 of them out there.
39 wells.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Okay, so Luke has joined us. And Luke, tell me how you pronounce your last name.
Mokerman.
Mokerman. Okay, great. So you're a communication specialist for the city of Sarasota.
Yes.
And you're here just to support Vern. Is that right?
In support, yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so let's you've answered the question about there's no surface water. It's all groundwater.
Yes, ma'am.
And let's talk about this water quality. The water quality of, I mean, we got this flyer.
Yes, ma'am. We send out, that's the Consumer Confidence Report, the CCR, as mm-hmm. it's known, the vernacular in utility business.
Mm-hmm.
It's required that each year we provide this to our customers. So they have an understanding of the constituents in their water and the quality of their water. Mm-hmm. And it's laid out very specifically. That's mandated by the state. So it's very strictly dictated how the data is presented. And it's designed to just give the folks an understanding of what their water is tested for, that their water meets the standards, that there's no serious hazards or threats to their water source. And I know that PFAS is sort of one of the things that everybody's concerned about and paying attention to.
The forever chemicals.
Correct.
Yes.
And it's not an issue for the city of Sarasota. We have been testing since 2019 for PFAS because the city participated in the unregulated contaminants monitoring, the UCMR5, which is something that EPA does periodically when they make a determination that there are potential constituents that they want to study and decide whether or not they need to regulate. And in the UCMR5, which is the fifth time they've done these unregulated monitoring rules, PFAS was part of that. So the city, being proactive like we are, we actually started testing it earlier in our drinking water sources just to be sure, is it there, is it not there? And since 2019, we have not had any detectable PFAS levels in our drinking water sources, which is a good thing for us.
Yeah, that's great. So tell me more about PFAS.
Well, like you mentioned earlier, PFAS is the forever chemicals, the plastics. EPA is looking at that, determining what are they going to do, how are they going to regulate it, are they going to regulate it. We don't really know, but we're being proactive. We want to know where it is, if it's there, and we've actually been working with University of Central Florida graduate students on doing a lot of pilot testing, sampling at both water and wastewater facilities, just so we know what we're dealing with and looking at what are the options out there, rather than having engineering firms or vendors or whatever come to us and say, hey, this is what we would like to do. We already want to know what our plan is, because as I'm sure you can imagine, in the utility business, there's a lot of planning and evaluating and studying and testing, because we have to be sure that we have enough drinking water that meets the demands for our residents and visitors now and for our residents and visitors in the future. Our current master plan that we did back in 2019 covers us till 2040 on our water supply, but we're doing an update to that master plan now, and we're looking at 2050 and beyond for water demand and wastewater treatment capacity as well. So there's a lot of technologies, a lot of regulatory, a lot of supply issues that we need to plan for and we need to prepare for. And these things take time. You can't just decide, oh, I want to build a extension onto my water plant and I need to get a permit and I need to design it. These things take time. So we do the planning now so that 10, 15 years from now, you already know what's happening. All you're doing is tracking the data. You're tracking their growth. You're tracking the water versus the consumption versus demand, so that you know, okay, it's time to implement this phase of the master plan.
So can you explain to us what the action level is when a concentration of a contaminant exceeds and triggers a treatment for other requirements?
Right. I brought a copy of CCR so that I can say it exactly as it is in here, because I don't want to confuse anyone who may have looked at this report and then hear me say something slightly different. So an action level is the concentration of a contaminant which, if exceeded, triggers treatment or other requirements that a water system must follow. So, for instance, if chloride levels, salt were to exceed acceptable limits, then there would be things that we would have to do in the RO treatment process. That would most likely come from the RO plant because, as I mentioned earlier, the downtown well field, that's a little bit more salty.
Yeah.
So that would mean that we need to make some adjustments in the RO treatment process to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to happen because that's one of the things that those guys at the water plant do. About every 2 hours, they do a round of tests on the finished product to be sure that it stays within a given set of guidelines. And they make adjustments based on what those test results are. So the water that we produce is very, very consistent because those guys stay on top of that stuff all the time.
And you've already talked about planning for growth and population.
Yes, ma'am.
And so that was something Rebecca wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks again for the both of you for being here, especially during our last day of our big membership drive. So for anybody out there who is listening and you'd like to become a member, we would love that. They're offering a special match. We have up to a $25,000 donation match today, right now, up until, I don't know what time, Julie?
Midnight.
Oh, yay, all day. Anyway, for as little as $5 a month, you can become a member, and that is matched. Even $5 a month, the whole 60 is matched. So it's a great way to double the money for WSLR to keep us on the air, to enable us to get guests like you, somebody that people always don't have direct access to, and to hear it from you direct. So I think that's such a value. So call 941-894-6469, or you can donate online by going to WSLR.org, and the little Donate Now button will pop up. We'd love your support. So Vern, I had a question, and one of my questions was a little more long-term, there's budgets and everything, but if money was kind of unlimited and you could do what you wanted to do, or what would you like to see done? What would be a big ideal in a perfect world? What would some of the things look like?
Well, we're actually already doing that. We might do it maybe a little faster. But we have a 10-year capital improvement plan that we go through and update each year, and you can see the impacts of that. You'll notice that there's work being done on US 41.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's,
and they're putting in a big water supply pipe down 41.
Right. What we're doing is actually we're upsizing that and replacing an old pipe with a newer, bigger pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all designed for anticipated future growth, resiliency of the system, preparation for the future. You don't know what we're doing out at the Verna well field is we're actually relocating a portion of that raw water main that pumps water back here into the city. We're working in cooperation with the folks at Lakewood Ranch, because they're going to be doing some construction out there, and our water main would be going right through part of their construction site. So in a cooperative effort with Lakewood Ranch, we're actually moving that to the very western or eastern border of their property, and they've given us a 40-foot easement that will protect that line. So those are just a couple of projects. We just finished a major force main project on Osprey. The water plant is actually undergoing some modifications now. We're putting in a sand filter, some electrical upgrades, things like that. We just finished a nanofiltration pilot, and that's for the future to treat the Verna water as we start drawing more from that well field. So maybe if money were no object, we might do those things a little sooner, but what we have them timed out now is when we need them, they'll be there. And that's the whole benefit of doing a master plan is you line up those things, you look at those timelines, you look at what makes sense, what doesn't impact our customers any more than we have to, because they are ratepayers, and that's how we pay for these things, is through our ratepayers. We're not funded by taxes. We're funded by the ratepayers. So they bear the burden for our decisions. So our decisions have to be very, very carefully thought out, very well calculated, because we have to take them into account when we make those decisions.
So are you testing for microplastics in municipal water?
That's what we've been doing with University of Central Florida.
Okay, great.
Yes, ma'am. And at this point, we do not have any in our drinking water sources nor in our drinking water supply.
That's great.
So
it's great.
We
great.
Look to keep it that way.
Yeah.
And just to interrupt quickly, we are in our membership drive on that last day stretch, I believe.
Yeah.
Today's the last day. And we have some donations coming in. Julie, would you like to read a couple?
Yeah, we have a $20 donation from Anonymous, $20 for our changing environment.
Yay, and I've got over here John Van Camp called in $120, and he says he's happy to support this amazing community radio station. Thank you, John.
Karen Stoltz of Sarasota, at the Evergreen Friend level, she's supporting Fogartyville events.
Great, and we've got a $25 from David Haydick. Thank you so much, David. And Roger Diaz, I know Roger, gave $120 for a healthy living hour, and he got it doubled with the match. So this is a great time to donate. If you haven't joined, you're on the fence, now is a great time because you're given double the money.
So all of those donations that you just read off were doubled?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
They're
that's
all
right.
doubled, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, thanks, Bert. Very cool. 941-894-6469. We have volunteers at the phones ready to take your pledge, or you can go to...
online. You can go online to WSLR.org, and if you want to contribute either to the Healthy Living Hour or Our Changing an Environment, you can scroll down to News and Public Affairs, and then there'll be a pop-up menu, and you can contribute to either of those shows.
Yes, thank you. Great. Thanks, Julie. Yeah, and so good to have you here. And I think this is what just is very meaningful and significant about a small community radio station like ourselves. Again, we can, you know... Where else can people hear you talk direct to you? I mean, I guess they can call you.
Yes, I'm actually fairly easy to get to.
Yes.
So, and that's the way it should be.
And what kind of calls do you get from customers, if I may ask?
Mostly it's when they have an issue and they're not happy with their water bill, or they've had some sort of an issue with a sewer backup or things of that nature that we need to go out and investigate. And one thing that we always tell people, if you have an issue at your house, if you've got a water issue, if you've got a sewer issue, call the city first and let us come out and check and see what's going on, because there's could be a situation where it's on the city side from the right of way out into the street, or from your water meter out to the water main. It could also be a problem on your side from the water meter to your house, the customer side. Also, your sewer lateral, there could be a problem. But call us first and let us come out and check, because we'll check those things, and then we'll tell you, okay, this is a customer side issue and you'll need to call a plumber. If you call a plumber first and the plumber comes out and says, oh, yeah, it's the city's problem, you're on the hook for that plumbing bill. But if you call us first and it is a city side issue, we'll fix that problem and it's no issue for you. You don't pay for anything. If it is a customer side issue, we'll tell you this is a customer side, you'll need to call a plumber.
Thank you. And yeah, I mean, I think I were looking for if you have any of these types of tips to share with the, you know, listeners today.
Well, if you have a question, call us, and we have professionals who can help you identify the problem. You know, a lot of times it's troubleshooting. People have high water bills and they don't understand why, and we'll send our distribution crew out, and typically we find something wrong with their irrigation system. There's a head missing, there's a broken line, and you don't see it, and people often say, well, how could I use so much water? Well, water is very clever in how mm-hmm. it flows, and sometimes it doesn't let you see where it's going. And, mm-hmm. it's when our guys come out and they can help you. We also have what we call a data log that we can get from the meter, and that gives us 90 days worth of usage. And that data log will graphically show when the water comes on, when the usage spikes. And a lot of times when it's an irrigation system, you can see it because it's very regular. So that's the biggest thing. If you have a question, call. Regine is our dispatcher. She will talk to you. She will get the information, and she will route it to the appropriate person if it's a sewer issue or if it's a water issue. And somebody will come out and check on it.
Thanks.
So what's the maximum residential residual disinfectant level? Disinfection level.
The maximum disinfection residual or maximum residual disinfection level is the highest level of a disinfectant allowed in drinking water. There is convincing evidence that additional disinfectant is necessary for control of microbial contaminants. That would be our chlorine residuals. And again, that's something that's very carefully monitored at the treatment plant before it goes out into the distribution system. And then we have multiple locations in the distribution system that we track chlorine residuals and make sure that those are within acceptable ranges and that they don't go too high or too low, because either one is not good.
Yeah, right, right. So the disinfectant is treating bacteria in the water. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
It's disinfecting the harmful bacteria.
Okay, great.
So that's, we don't want that in the water.
Yeah.
And we also do microbiological testing throughout the system every month, and all of that data gets reported to the state in what we call a MOR, a monthly operating report, and that gets submitted to the state every month.
And does it go to the Department of Health?
It goes to the Health Department and to Swift Mud.
Like, okay.
Water use readings for all of our wells, mm-hmm. those go to Swift Mud and are tracked.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So it's a highly regulated environment.
And you're permitted by the Water Management District?
Swift Mud issues the water use permits, what we call WUPs.
Okay.
For both the well fields, and then the health department actually administrates the operation of the treatment facility. And then the treatment facility also has a deep injection well that we utilize for disposal of the brine discharge from the treatment process. And that's regulated by the Department of Environmental Protection.
So you use RO, reverse osmosis.
Correct.
To separate the brine from, and then you inject it into a deep well.
Well, as a part of both treatment processes, the RO and the ion exchange, there is brine discharge from both processes. That's blended at the concentrate pump station, and then that's pumped down to deep well.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you. I have a question. So I know, I think it was really common practice, you know, decades ago for people to throw their unused medications, prescription medications, flush it or, you know, mm-hmm. put it down. And I'm sure some are still doing that, though we shouldn't. And that's filtered out, or how, there's ways to test for that?
If they put that goes into the collection system and goes to the wastewater treatment facility.
Mm.
And that's
a whole different,
a whole different thing, but interconnected. You know, you can't really have one without the other. And so definitely there are other better methods to get rid of medication than dumping it in the system, because that goes through. And that's really, a lot of that medication is what we call in the utility business a pass-through. That means it goes into the treatment facility and then goes right on out in the effluent. So you don't really want to dispose of it that way. There are other methods that you should utilize to get rid of medication other than just dumping it down a toilet, because it goes right back out into the environment again.
And so sometimes there's amnesty days to turn in medicine at police stations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Police stations, fire stations.
Yeah. Great.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell us about total trihalomethanes.
That's what we call disinfection byproduct.
Okay.
DBPs, as we call it in the business. You're getting the inside vernacular here. and that's a result of the disinfection process. And again, it has to be monitored and controlled to make sure that you don't produce too many halocetic acids, trihalomethanes, those sorts of things in your finished product. So that's a case of monitoring at the treatment plant, making sure that you don't overfeed your bleach, and then making sure that your distribution system is flowing, because the water needs to flow. You don't want the water to just sit there. So sometimes we do an operation, what we call flushing, where we'll go to a given area where there's maybe not a lot of movement in the water, and we'll open a hydrant, and we'll just flush that water to make sure that that water stays fresh in that line.
Yeah. I've seen that happen in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes around from the city of Sarasota, and they open a fire hydrant and let it run for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And they could actually be working somewhere else in the area,
mm-hmm.
and they just, you know, they've done a main repair,
mm-hmm.
and they need to just flush that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there's a couple different reasons why you might see a city employee come up and crank open a hydrant.
You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV 100.1 FM in Bradenton. And let me reintroduce our guests right now. We have Luke Mokerman, communication specialist with the City of Sarasota, and Vern Hall, who's the utilities director for the City of Sarasota. And we're grateful that you've been here with us. And you were scheduled for 30 minutes. Do you want to keep, is there something else you'd like to say to our listeners right now?
Well, we're just very grateful that we have our customers, that we're happy to provide the service that we do. And it's a pleasure to be here with you ladies.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Vern. And if I can just ask a question, what are some tips that people can do to conserve? Like, what do you see every day? Because you look at it through a different lens than probably many of us. Like, some things that maybe we're not doing that we could do to conserve.
Well, the main thing is what we find is people get into habits. And they let their irrigation system just run. Well, it's raining. Shut your irrigation system off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in that summertime, admittedly, this summer has been very hot and dry, and I'm not upset that we didn't get any storms this year.
Yeah.
Amen.
The storms were a little rough on us last year.
Yeah.
But if you're in that rainy pattern, you don't need to irrigate your lawn. Let it go. Same thing. You get into habits. When you brush your teeth, you let the sink run. Washing dishes, you let the sink run. You don't, you know, just look at what you're doing periodically. Look at your habits and say, I really don't need to leave that thing running. I can just shut the sink off while I'm doing this over here. Just little things like that. Just periodically check what you're doing.
So do people irrigate with city water?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Okay.
They have a water meter for their house that they use for cooking, cleaning, showering.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have an irrigation meter that's set up for irrigating the lawn, and that's charged at a different rate.
Okay, great.
Because that doesn't go back down the sewer
mm-hmm.
like the water that you use in your house does.
So, Luke, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, you know, I think Vern covered it all really well.
Great. Great. So, you can leave if okay. if you want.
Fantastic.
We've appreciated your time with us today.
Yes, thank you both.
Yeah.
Sure.
For taking time out and coming.
My pleasure.
Here.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
Great. Bye.
Thanks. And again, you're tuning in to WSLR. You're here with the Healthy Living Hour and Julie Morris with Our Changing Environment. And we were talking about all things water here. Thank you guys so much. Take good care. And Julie, we've got a donation from Trish Strombeck. $35 supporting ArtBeat. And Trish writes, during these times, it's important to support independent radio. And if I may piggyback on that, I was joining in with Juan and Lou from Surreal News on Friday, sitting in on their program. And Lou was talking in between, and he just said something that jogged my memory on something I totally forgot about, and to me about I take for granted the impact of a community radio station and the power of radio. But if I can share just a little story, I had a colleague and a friend from Haiti. I met Jean Robert in graduate school. And I knew him as a Baptist minister in Naples. He was eager not only to share the tragic history of Haiti, for example, being the only country in the Western Hemisphere that revolted and fought and got their independence back, but then had to pay France, you know, and
right.
there's a whole history there, but too, but also along with the story of he had told me, like, one of his ancestors, like a great-great-great-grandfather, was actually a slave and buried alive with the gold to, you know, superstitiously maybe to protect the gold while the people went back to Europe while they were gone. Anyway, he had shared, I had asked him how he came to the U.S., and he had shared that when he was a teenager, like 13, 14, that was during Baby Doc's regime, Jean-Claude Duvier. And, you know, there was just such great oppression. And he found a little booklet, instructions on how to build transistor radio. And so he started making these transistor radios. Here's this teenage kid mm-hmm. building radios in his bedroom, you know, mm-hmm. And distributing them to the neighborhood so that people could get news. They could get truth from outside the country. And it got to the point where his mother was worried for his life, and she actually paid to put him on a boat. So he was like what you would call a boat person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, barely made it here, but made it here. What, you know, went through a really bad storm. They could have perished. But anyway, I just thought, wow, I've never been through anything like that. Many of us haven't. And, mm-hmm. and it just, it made me really think of the impact of a little radio station like this
yeah.
and what our value is and what the worth is.
Yeah.
So
this is it, folks. It's the final day of the WSLR in Fogartyville Fall membership drive. We've raised $46,000 so far, and thanks to an incredible supporter who believes in what we do, every dollar you give today will be matched up to $25,000. That's right. If we raise $25,000 by the end of the day, it will be doubled to $50,000. This is one of the largest matching challenges in our history, and it could carry us over the finish line. Help us make this drive one for the record books. Give what you can, support the shows and programmers you love, and let's bring this home for community radio. More information can be found at WSLR.org or by calling 941-894-6469.
Yeah, and Julie, you know, I was talking to some people yesterday on the telephone, and people can become a member, an Evergreen member. A radio activist member, $100 a year, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month. It really doesn't take much. And you're supporting something, a cornerstone of a democratic, you know, community. We need all voices. And, you know, there's so much here. There is music. We have Fogartyville live music. Different things. And here's Jesse.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to step in with the Healthy Living Hour and our changing environment. Julie and Rebecca always bring the most informative conversations to our airwaves on WSLR.org. We know that you care about this type of programming. And I want to read out a couple of generous donors who also care about this programming, and they went ahead and made their pledge and had got it doubled with our $25,000 match that's going on today. Jolynn Powers just became a member at the friend level for $60 in support of Melody Matrix. So thank you so much, Jolynn. And we also had a nice $25 donation from Christine McCormick. Christine, thank you so much for your contribution. That just got doubled to $50 from our anonymous donor who is matching all gifts today up to $25,000. This is fantastic.
That's unheard of.
We are so, so grateful for the support that our community is bringing to us today, and we want you to take a moment and give us a call and support this programming. 941-894-6469 is the number to call. We have three. One more just walked in. Three volunteers waiting by the phones, wanting to hear from you, or you can go online to the website if you're feeling shy, WSLR.org, and make a contribution.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you all.
Thank you. So, Julie, can you share what you have? You always have. You talk about so many important things about our local community and the environment. What have been some of your standout? I mean, they're all important, but who have we heard from on your show in the past 6 months or so?
We had a guest in early September, Susan Shutley, and she is associated with something called the Sarasota County Action Network, SCAN. And she was talking with us about the D.R. Horton proposal to build 120 homes on part of the celery, adjacent to the celery fields on Smith Farm. And at that time, they had, D.R. Horton had suggested a mediation process, which is defined in Florida statutes. The county commission voted unanimously to not approve this 120 home proposal. And today, the county commission is going to decide. They're going to talk about whether they are going to have a public hearing about the revised proposal, the mediated proposal. And so Jono's there, and he's offering public comment on whether or not they should go ahead and do that. And so that was Susan Shutley, and she's associated with SCAN. And then last week we had a conversation with the president of the Uplands Association, Judy Burns, and they're very concerned about the adjacent property at New College's campus master plan, and they feel like they haven't been consulted about the campus master plan, and they're pretty interested in that. And then we also had a conversation with Vote Vets, the local chairman of Vote Vets, and he was talking about their project to plant microforests. Right. And so that's a really interesting project.
That, yeah. And what do you have coming up for next week?
We're going to have Andrew Hudson, and he is going to be talking about Eat Local Week. And he's the program director for Community Harvest SRQ.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all love hearing from Andrew. He's kind of a staple around here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm going to join you on your next show on
November 4th.
November 4th. And we'll be talking about the Sustainable Communities Workshop that's sponsored by IFAS.
Can you share a little bit about that? What's coming up? And, you know, what?
Jono and I are both attending. It's November 6th, and it's going to be at the Harvest House on 17th and Beneva. 17th and Beneva Road, and you know, that's a great venue, and there'll be it's a whole day of workshops about how to make our community more sustainable. And it's sponsored by IFAS.
Great. Do you have the where people can get more information or register for that? Do you know how they do that? I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you go to Sarasota IFAS, you can find a way to get that.
Great.
Get that
great
combination. So Jono is joining us now.
Yay, Jono. You just walked in. Thank you, Jono.
Well, I'm sorry I'm so late. I turned in my speaker card at 8 in the morning. I was the first card in, and I spoke ninth.
Great. Right. And this is about the D.R. Horton proposal on Smith Farms.
Right. So hopefully that testimony will make a difference.
Yeah.
So have you been thanking people?
Yeah. And we want to thank Jim Morris for a $100 pledge.
I know him.
John Ryan for a $60 pledge. And Connie Kruzak for a $41.20 pledge. Ray Westbrook did not want to know. Ernie Wynn pledged $51.50. Mary Hardy pledged $41.20. David Iannotti pledged $36.05. Drew Green pledged $30.90. So, Jono, you can take over.
Yeah.
There. And then Rebecca has some pledges too, right?
I read most of mine, but I do know a thank you to CC Schuett. Thank you for supporting the Healthy Living Hours, CC. Mm-hmm. I know you. I get feedback from you. And I know for myself and probably you as well, but if there's any topics or guests, well, please, you can reach me by email at healthylivingwslr@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Well, I want to thank all the supporters of our changing environment that have contributed so far. We've met our goal, and what we're doing now is helping to support the other shows, some of which are newer and just don't have the exposure yet, so this will help the entire WSLR operation. The other people that Julie didn't get to include Stacy Mazza-Gillickson, John Connolly, Judy Burns. Oh, somebody there wanted to remain anonymous, so I those should be redacted. Ruth Follett, Heidi Harley, Alicia Harper, and Karen Stack. So once again, thanks to all the support for our changing environment.
So in a world where most media chases ratings and national headlines, WSLR News focuses on Sarasota. We're training new reporters at our citizen journalism workshops and teaching young people during our youth radio camps. And now, thanks to our community support, we are preparing to hire a full-time reporter to deepen our local coverage. This is what grassroots journalism looks like. Independent, fearless, and accountable only to the people. When you give to WSLR and Fogartyville, you're not just keeping news alive. You're investing in the next generation of storytellers. Support appendant local reporting today. Hear it here. And we now have a $25,000 match going for this final day of our fund drive. And so anything up to $25,000 that you contribute today will be matched by this $25,000 anonymous match person.
Okay, so let me be clear. It's not like we have to get to $25,000 today. It's anything getting towards that will be matched.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and so if you are a member, we thank you. Thank you so much for your membership. If you're not a member yet and you're interested, you can become an Evergreen member for as little as $5 a month. And that's just a monthly contribution, $10 a month. And then with that dollar for a dollar match, you're doubling it. And so let's look at, I was looking at the breakdown card of the different membership levels. At a radio activist level of $96.50 one time, if you're local here or a snowbird, you get two member-priced tickets to any Fogartyville event and one free ticket. For just a little more, $120, you get four member-priced tickets and two free tickets. So you can call in. That number is 941-894-6469 and talk to one of our volunteers, and they can find the one that fits you best.
Yeah, or you can go online and donate online at WSLR.org.
And I want to clarify that Judy Burns was not only supporting our changing environment, but also Peace and Justice Report. And Alicia Harper was also supporting Healthy Living Hour.
So. Oh, thanks, Alicia.
Yeah.
Yay. Sometimes I never know. Is anybody listening out there? So thank you, thank you. We wouldn't be here. This is all, you know, volunteer run mainly. All of us are volunteers, community supported. And, you know, we're all spokes of the same wheel, and we need to keep this going.
Have you mentioned that we're here in the new revamped studio that's much easier to work with?
Yeah.
This is a big improvement, so thanks, everyone.
Yeah. So this fall, WSLR celebrates 21 years on air, finally old enough to raise a glass, but still powered by grassroots passion. For more than two decades, we've been Sarasota's independent voice, alive with creativity, connection, and fearless conversation. We've weathered storms, trained young broadcasters, and welcomed thousands of musicians and community members to our stage and our airwaves. None of it would be possible without listener support. As we celebrate 21 years, we're looking ahead to the next 21. Join us today and keep this dynamic energy alive. And you can donate by calling 941-894-6469, or you can go online to WSLR.org. And anything that you contribute today is going to be matched up to $25,000.
Yeah.
And so you can double whatever you're contributing today by this match.
Yeah. Great. About leverage. So let me ask you, have you been talking about the new improved news operation that WSR News is really taking off?
No, we haven't.
Okay, well, so this is a relatively recent thing, and we're starting to train people and get a lot more news, local news, coming out of the station. So it's not just music and public affairs, but actual current what's happening news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess they're planning to develop another news reporter.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so You know, the program, the station's really moving in, on multiple fronts to improve things, and that's why this money's so crucial.
And, you know, Fogartyville has 120 events planned for this season, and it's the best listening room and in the local area.
And it's conveniently located in downtown Sarasota.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah. And I know, I just love what Johannes and, you know, his team have been doing. They're doing summer camps for the youth. We're encouraging students to come in and see if they want to give, a little dive into journalism and learn that and get the experience around here. And I think what a great thing to get these young ones interested and active in this. And I just love seeing that, what he's doing.
So and I have to say, I've said this before, but one of the most exciting things when we're having our membership drive is when people open the studio door and hand you cards and you get to read them on the air. So Anonymous just donated $1,000.
Wow.
And that's in support of Metropics, and that will be matched. So that counts as $2,000 that came in. Another Anonymous in Lakewood Ranch, $60 as friend, so presumably that'll be matched. And then the former chair of the board, Ed Subkus, and his wife, Bunny, just donated $100, so that should be matched. So we're moving forward.
Thank you, everybody. So you have been listening to the Healthy Living Hour with Rebecca and Our Changing Environment.
With Jono and Julie.
Julie and 19 minutes of Jono.
Yeah.
We'll take it, Jono. And thank you for taking your time and going and, you know, really being a voice for the land and for our environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had a good talk with Lourdes Ramirez, and we want to get her on the show and have her talk about the rejuvenated
Kona.
So that'll be very exciting.
Yeah, so that will be that.
It's not scheduled.
It's not scheduled,
but it'll happen, and that.
And so
be.
Lourdes is the new president of Kona, right?
Yeah,
and it's the county
coalition of neighborhood associations.
County coalition of neighborhood associations.
Yeah. So very exciting.
Yeah. So. So $25,000 match today for every contribution that you make today.
Again, that number is 941-894-6469 or online at wslr.org, and a little Donate Now tab will pop up and you can fill out your contribution there.
And your donation will help get us the studio number posted on the wall so we can see it. And your donation will help connect up the on-air light so that when we're on the air, we'll know we're on the air. So there's a lot of things your money's going to do that make things better around here.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement in ourselves as well. Well, thank you. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Jono. It's been good to be here again. I know I don't really get to see the two of you except for our gatherings at Fogartyville or our twice-a-year show here where we combine.
So tune in next week for Our Changing Environment, where Andrew Hudson, who is the program director for Community Harvest SRQ, will be our guest. And then he will be talking about Eat Local Week.
And he's a longtime WSLR supporter.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He used to be the head of the parade.
That's right.
When we had the dragon.
That's right.
In the Christmas parade.
Yep.
And then tune in on November 4th for Rebecca's next show, which will be focusing on the Sustainable Communities Workshop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And in the meantime, stay tuned for Democracy Now!
There you go.